To God all glory and praise on this day of grace in Jesus. We meditate on those two verses from Romans chapter 8. Here once again, Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then will we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? The word of the Lord, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Dearly beloved of God and pilgrims to the manger, it was Christmas my freshman year in high school, and my great-grandpa Werner wasn't saying much. It dawned on me talking to him, as I did most of the talking, that I probably wasn't going to see him again after I went back to school. And sure enough, that spring, he was gone. One by one over the years, that generation passed away. And now their children look to us, their children, to take care of them as we watch our own children raising our grandchildren. How quickly fly the years. But why is it that without question, I am absolutely confident I will see them again? Great-grandma Werner, that did her best in her shaky old handwriting to write in my prayer book, I use every day, God's unspeakable gift, grace. And her daughter, the grandma we called Nanny, I think she wrote it in my confirmation hymnal or just said that in the service one day, concentrate on every single word. They're past and gone, sort of. They've passed from here, from grace to glory. You don't have to go back to an old ranch house that no longer belongs to the family, or go back to some dusty cobwebs to pull up some long-forgotten memories. Just look inside what one hymn writer called the outhouse of the stable. Just look there in the feed box called a manger and see God's gift. Where the shepherds lately knelt but have gone back to the fields and their flocks, there is the Virgin Mother with her firstborn, the only begotten Son of God, and hear her singing. Did she sing the song of the angels too? Something like glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all mankind. The heritage is that gift of grace. The Christmas trees were not always tumbling with interesting presents. You know, in a family with seven siblings, you kind of expect socks and underwear a lot of years. But I do remember one year, and my brother Rock may recall this too, that we older boys got a present from Mom because she went all out that year, caught a sale. What she got for us was usually $70 a piece, and these were $35 that year. I can hold this up, and, you know, it wasn't this, obviously, but, oh, wow, text from my mother right while I'm talking here. May you have a truly blessed day in celebrating God's perfect gift to us. Love you dearly, Mom. Don't you love it? The gift that Mom gave us at that, I didn't plan this, the gift that God gave us at that time through Mom was, well, it was probably about this long and a little wider, I think, and at least three, if not four times as thick. But this was exciting. They would add and subtract. They would multiply and divide. No percentage, nothing like that. And you did have to keep them plugged in. But that was pretty awesome compared to the old adding machines, you know. I see a lot of bored looks on young people. And I tell my own kids, you missed the fun. Because you don't remember what that was like. Now, these things, good grief, I think it's got all the logarithms and math on here I couldn't begin to work on. But this will pass. It will be gone. Technology will die. But what God gave to us that first Christmas, that heritage, oh, Moses could see it coming. He could see it after the sin with the golden calf, as I mentioned before, when the Lord had relented and said, I will go with you, because Moses said, if you don't, we're dead. And everyone will despise your name. They'll think you brought your people out here in the wilderness to kill them because you didn't have the power to bring them to the promised land. God would have been very embarrassed. That's the way Moses twisted the Lord's arm. You want to twist God's arm? Plead for his grace and mercy in his name, in his reputation. Because he can't turn away. He had to reveal his glory, but in a way that would not destroy Moses. But he could see the Christ coming, his Savior, when the Lord said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding or overflowing in mercy and truth, maintaining mercy, that's that word chesed in the Hebrew, that unfailing love of God that makes outlandish promises and will not forget, does not want anyone to forget his promise, and then keeps it at a cost that no one knew was coming except God, not even the angels. Mercy and truth maintained for thousands of generations, forgiving guilt and rebellion and sin, he will by no means clear the guilty. He calls their children and their children's children to account for the guilt of the fathers, even to the third and fourth generation. We get more in Deuteronomy 5, where the Lord explains further how these thousands of generations, which would be millions of people, get the grace and mercy of God. But only three or four generations are crushed by the curse if the children continue to hate God like their parents. What a loving God who prefers to be merciful and kind and waits with open arms for everyone to come back to him. And John chapter 1, how I loved that. My first work in the EHV translating John, and it was just so simple as the professors told us the Greek would be, but so profound in the words that were there, and always showing in the reality of Christmas that there's sadness. There's sadness. Was then as it is now. The Word. The Word became flesh. That's the incarnation, taking on flesh, dwelled among us. We have seen his glory. The glory he has is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. But this word was not accepted even by all his own relatives. You know, there was a time when his brothers did not believe in him. James and Jude, who ended up writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit a couple of the epistles, not believing in him early on, people in Nazareth. It says he came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of blood or of the desire of the flesh or of a husband's will, but born of God. That rebirth, that being born again, that miracle of faith that the Holy Spirit brings that connects us to the Christ child in the manger when God gave us Christmas not sparing. He didn't hold back. He gave his all. As we come to these verses in Romans chapter 8, please read Romans 7 and then read Romans chapter 8. If you read nothing else in the next week, oh, what glory. How do you believe this, though? This is just beyond belief for human reason. You don't know what to pray, and all you can do is groan and sigh, and the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groans that words cannot express? How do you know that he searches our hearts and he knows your spirit more than you can put it into words, and he knows the mind of the Spirit of God? How do you know that? How can you be sure that the Spirit will intercede with the saints according to God's will? And who are the saints? If you think they're only canonized miracle workers by a certain place in Rome, oh, that's not how the Bible uses the word saints. It's the holy ones who didn't get their holiness from themselves because it's not there. It's the ones who are holy from the one in the manger who brought us holiness as the Lord our righteousness. How do we know? I mean, this is really, really ridiculous. All things work together for good to those who love God. Okay, so the first time you have an impossible situation that you can't explain or understand, you stop loving God? Human reason would. I don't know why he did that. Why is God acting that way? Why does God let things? You know, you've heard it all. You hear it. Your heart asks it sometimes. Why? How do you know? No bad days, really? All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How do you know that God knew you by name from all eternity, foreknew you, and then predestined you, that means mapped out your life, so that you would hear the word of God about that babe in the manger and believe it, be sanctified? How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. Those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. He predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. How do you know? The children told us last Sunday in our children's Christmas service, said it very clearly. And older children know as well, who have knelt by the manger again and again and looked there to see God's gift of Christmas unsparing, the one who did not hold back. And so the questions that Paul asks and answers in our text come clear as we kneel there. What then will we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You're not an afterthought with God. I don't even know you in some cases, but you're not an afterthought with God, because he's known you by name from all eternity. God pressed on to give the gift that keeps on giving while everything wears out, grows old. The technology can die. Earth can fall apart around your ears. Everybody can be at each other's throats. There is no peace on earth, not in a human sense. And peace, like a river, flows to every heart that comes quietly to the manger and sees the gift of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? You get the argument? This awesome gift of gifts, unsurpassed, the greatest that God could give, so freely given to those who did not ask for it, could not have imagined it, and by nature still don't want it, given. Given so mercifully and graciously, what would God ever withhold? You see Mary. And how can you run from that baby in her arms? You just want to go and hold him close to your heart too. There is a heart that beats for you. There are the hands that will be pierced for you. There is the head, once crowned with thorns, now crowned with glory, that rules all things for you and for his church. Not for your immediate pleasure, not for these nearsighted, me-first attitude things, but for God's eternal glory to have you home in heaven, to rejoice with the angels, to sing with the saints, the other holy ones that receive from God what we could not provide ourselves. Ah, Mary, she sings, she dreams, she worships her own son. She worships, as so beautifully in these DVDs on the table out there, take one before you leave today, my son, my savior. Because you know, it won't be long that old Simeon's words will come true. A sword will pierce your own soul too. How long before that desperate, bloody proclamation from a paranoid king will murder all the baby boys in Bethlehem, and God's own son will have to flee for his life when he can't even walk? His stepfather told, go to Egypt to flee. And every day of his life, from city to hill to countryside, through poverty and pain, until bloody sweat stains the ground of a garden. And then the angry cries of crucify. Crucify him. You know why? You know why we still need Christmas, not sparing? Because there still is in all of us that wrapped up inside myself part. That's sin. And it comes out in so many ways. But in one way, with one holy, precious blood, he washed away all the guilt of all humankind. He just says, believe it. I'm not telling you about a potential salvation. I'm not saying if you do this or if you do that. No, this is an announcement. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace to all mankind. Because when he gave up his spirit and he gave it up, he said, it is finished. And that, my dear Christian friends, is everything. Because God knows what you need now in your life now. And he's planning for whatever tomorrows there may be. Because there is an eternal day that's coming when you and I will finally get it. We'll finally see why everything had to go as it did. And why God finally in his mercy brought all glory and praise to his name to shine this glory on souls uncounted and untold, except in his heart of hearts and his love of loves. Oh yes, Merry Christmas. Christmas not sparing. Amen.